Good Friday morning, everybody. Welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning, hanging out. Michelle Knezovic behind the glass, and Joe Rex Road here as well. Joe, how we doing, my friend? Good to see you.
We're doing great. Good to see you. I hope you guys like the Spring Hill Suites artwork behind me here in near Cincinnati. It's very, I think it's very modern. I think it's like, is it Art Deco? Maybe I'm not sure.
Wow.
But yeah. I situated this specially for you to see. So for the viewers, it's an extra treat today.
I like it. It looks good, and you're paying homage to Ryan Porth by being anywhere near the city of Cincinnati. So he will be.
That's
he
right.
will appreciate that.
I'll say hi to the Reds bullpen for them.
Well, they need that. So the Predators fall to Edmonton last night, 4-0. And Joe, I'm just going to start it off. I'm not trying to be Stillman here. It's not what I'm trying to do. But I am a little concerned because they've scored 4 goals in 4 games. That's a fact, and that concerns me after being shut out last night at home. Mike Smith, the 60-year-old goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers, getting the shutout, but Predators cannot find the back of the net in the loss.
Yeah, and, you know, it's different than, you know, certainly they had some chances, but different to me. I felt like the San Jose game, you know, it's just one of those weird games where you have primo chances all over the place. You dominate the game, and sometimes you just have nights like that. I feel like overall during this stretch, it's generating offense. They're not doing enough of it. And it just seemed like John Hines was, I don't know, what was the word for John Hines last night?
He was a little irritated, I think. And I feel like that you see, when you do see that out of him, you know that it's real. Like, because he's usually pretty laid back. I mean, Peter Laviolette, you never knew because he was always the same way, but
he always seemed pissed off.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But John Hines, the way he carries himself, if he's mad in a press conference, and mad for him is much different than other coaches, but when he's a little, you know, short answered or snippy, you know that it's for real. And, you know, I got the vibe last night listening to him that he wasn't very happy with his team, you know, with, even though they did have some of those chances, this is go time. And this is the time of year where you don't want to be limping in. And the fact that you got two guys sitting at 38 goals that have been so good for you this year, and you've only scored 4 goals in the last 4 games, that's not good.
Right, and it's not good that in such an important game against a team that's also going to be in the playoffs, you looked overmatched at home, you know. And maybe this is a particularly bad matchup. It's a very fast team. I feel like when John Hines is frustrated, usually it has to do with his team not playing, mm-hmm. you know, the style, the identity we talk about all the time, right? I mean, imposing itself physically on the opponent. That's what the Preds have become under John Hines. So is it that they didn't work like he wants them to work, or maybe a little bit of a combo of that and this opponent sometimes you can't hit what you can't catch kind of thing, you know? I don't know if that's letting them off the hook for last night's performance, but it really doesn't add up to me that they would have, you know, any sort of lack of, you know, passion or intensity at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's, you know, lack of passion or intensity, and we'll talk to Terry Crisp coming up today at 8:30 and get his thoughts as we go into his weekend, which is going to be a lot of fun. But I just feels like things are just a little bit off. And, you know, have they had some guys out of the lineup? Of course, but that's what every team deals with. I think this team is deep enough that they should be able to just kind of pick up if one guy is out. We know that, you know, Borowiecki has just been beat up lately and you know, had hit his share of injuries. But you can't use that as an excuse, especially when you've had the offense going. The thing that stood out to me with John Hines' press conference was, you could tell it was one of those games that you just wanted kind of to move on from, because he kept saying, you know, we're going to get ready for the weekend. Basically ready on to Chicago. He was pulling a Bill Belichick of, you're in Cincinnati, so on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, right, right. Like, and just very little interest. Like, there just isn't much good to say about it, or much as, you know, so it's either you can, you know, you can have, I mean, I'm trying to think if Hines is really, certainly Hines has expressed pleasure here and there, but has Hines ever really kind of like ripped his team? I just don't think that's, you know, I can't recall a situation that I would qualify that it is that.
Yeah.
You, am I forgetting something?
No, no, not to,
he doesn't,
not to this level.
Yeah. So I think when it gets to something like that, he'd rather, you know what, let's just move on. So that's what it told me. Just, I mean, you have to flush this game, and that, and look, it's still 1 of 82. It's just concerning that it's in a situation this big, this late. And obviously, of course, you know, it didn't go well elsewhere around the league last night for the Preds either. So now again, they wake up and it's a different looking race. That's what's going to be every day, you know, basically, but now you got Vegas rolling and getting within 2 points, although you still have a game in hand.
Yeah, Vegas 7-2-1 in their last 10. They sit with 87 points. And as Joe mentioned, the Predators and Dallas do have a game in hand. Dallas and Nashville all knotted up at 89 points, having the first two wild cards. And so it's coming down, you know, to the wire. And, you know, I put on my Twitter account at Chase on Game this morning, you know, what is your level of concern right now? And a couple of people have weighed in and said, you know, one fan says they're toast. A roller coaster GIF was sent. Given the teams left to play, I say not good. So you can tell that Smashville is a little restless with everything. And, you know, that's something to consider. This is a big – they're all big, okay? We're going to say that before every game. But this weekend – you have tomorrow an early game, 11:30, against Chicago. The next day, a 5 o'clock game on Easter against St. Louis. Two division games. Chicago's out of it. St. Louis, obviously, is very much in it. You gotta really, right now, in my opinion, you got to take both of those. You need 4 points out of that. And then you close out this homestand against Calgary on Tuesday, which is your likely first-round opponent, if things stay how they are right now. Obviously could play Colorado if they fall to that second wildcard spot. But, you know, the points are at a premium now, and the schedule's not going to be easy the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's a huge weekend. I mean, you start with, I mean, you there. There's just, you know, it's, you got to bring your absolute best and beat Chicago. And here we go again with another one of these teams that just would love to ruin your day and has, you know, nothing else at stake otherwise. You got the back-to-back. Obviously, St. Louis, you know, St. Louis is very much playing for something. You know, St. Louis is knotted up with Minnesota. One of them is going to have home ice in the first round against the other. So, and Minnesota actually has a game in hand, but, you know, that's a huge, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, you know, so St. Louis is fully engaged for that game. And I agree. I mean, I guess if you got three out of it, you know, it isn't necessarily disastrous, but, you know, four, when you drop this one, you know, I know Robbie and I were saying, you know, like 6 out of 8 this week would put you in good shape. Because then once you're done with Chicago, it is a string of really good teams. I mean, it's 6 straight really good teams. I guess the one thing you could look at here is that Calgary basically has the Pacific and the 2 seed wrapped up. Does that have any impact on what they do in the 2 visits that they're going to be making back-to-back Tuesdays?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Daryl Sutter, to me, he's one of those that he just doesn't take
old
the foot
school.
Off the, yeah, old school. You don't take the foot off the gas. I think they're going to be ready to play.
I mean, it's one of those things where I expect their lineup to be out there. There is still a little difference between desperation and non-desperation, but yeah, I mean, you're trying to get yourself, all these teams are trying to get, you know, get themselves ready to play playoff hockey, and you want to play at that level. So, so first of all, if the Preds stumble in any way against Chicago, then I think that's when you ring the alarm bells. with what's right ahead after that.
Joe, Cody Glass made his return to the lineup after being in the AHL most of the year, played a couple of games to start the season and was sent down 60 points on the season in the American League. Had just over 11 minutes in ice time last night. Obviously, the team performance is what stands out, but he's somebody that was a part of a big trade, a young player that David Poile has told us numerous times on Darren Donick and Chase on his weekly there that, you know, they haven't given up on him. They want him to develop, that, you know, maybe he didn't get the right amount of development time with Vegas because Vegas was in more of a go-for-it, win now to the gates mode, but what was kind of your thoughts on Cody Glass making his return to the Preds?
Yeah, look, he's played really well, so that's encouraging. Obviously, it's a guy who hasn't come close to his draft positioning. He's had a pretty serious injury situation too, so you got to keep that in mind, but that also could be, you got to keep that in mind when you talk about, you know, what's his ceiling. But hey, I think it's it's been an underwhelming career so far. It's been, I think, probably encouraging to see what he's done in Milwaukee. Doesn't seem to me like right now he's going to be all that impactful in the lineup. I still think that the Milwaukee performance is a good step for him. So what could he be? I don't know. He is young still, so you let him keep developing. I think, you know, this lineup needs Michael McCarron back, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I think Michael McCarron would be a really timely addition if they can get him back here before the postseason. And then if that's the case, Luke Cunningham, you know, what is up with Luke Cunningham? Think about how Luke Cunningham was playing last year at this point.
Yeah.
And then in the playoffs, he was playing extremely well. I was like, okay, see, that's the young guy who he's going to be kind of like, he's going to be a 20, 25 goal scorer for this team for a few years. And at this point, I don't know about that.
Coming up next, we'll take your texts and your calls on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the Predators. What's your level of trust right now? This team's still in the playoffs, but what do they do with that if they make the playoffs in the last 8 games of the regular season? We'll do that up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Yeah, I think we got to get ready for Chicago. You know, I think we got to get mentally, physically, and emotionally
different from the way that they played out. But is there concern about that? What kind of been your, what you've noticed as to why that's been the case?
You know, I think in general, just our preparedness to play, the execution with the puck and the intensity level that we're playing with has been, you know, we need to make sure we have that rectified for Chicago.
Predators head coach John Hines last night after their 4-0 loss to the Edmonton Oilers. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley this morning. Joe Rex Road here as well. And let me tell you what I take away from that. He didn't feel like his team was ready because that was his narrative. And listen, that's on the coaching staff, and the coaches will be the first to take blame for that. But you listen to that answer to Robbie, starting with the, we got to get ready for Chicago, got to get ready for the weekend. He talked about preparedness, being ready for a game. To me, that just was basically saying like, hey, we got to do a better job of being prepared for these games. And I'm making an opinion here that, you know, he didn't feel like his team was prepared, ready for that game last night. Because that should have been a playoff-type game for them. And Edmonton just mopped the floor with them.
Yeah, well, it's hard to argue with that. That I just, you know, a couple things stood out. One is I just thought the Preds looked slow. You know, and again, I think Edmonton can make teams look slow, but they look slow, and so I don't know what that means. You know, sluggish. I don't know if that's necessarily, you know, being prepared or not, but they looked like they were a step behind, and then, you know, obviously, I mean. You know, you go to the box. Look, this is the most penalized team in the league. But you go to the box against that team, you know, you immediately in a hole. You're immediately chasing the game. And it just never felt like they really got things together. I think Ekholm had a, you know, pretty good quote about, you know, obviously the forecheck is very important to this team. And they just never, again, it's like they never were able to catch up to hit anybody to get anything going, you know? So again, I think some of that is credit to the Oilers and what they do, and maybe a comment on the matchup, but I agree overall, like it wasn't good enough in just about any aspect of the game.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, Leon Draisaitl scores two power play goals last night. He has the hat trick, 54 goals on the year. You have McDavid, you know exactly what he is. I mean, two of the best players in the league on one team, but Edmonton is also, I think in the back of their mind, they all know, hey, we got to do something in the playoffs. And so this team is in playoff mode already, which I'm not saying the Predators aren't. Most teams that are in contention are in playoff mode. But, you know, the Oilers, they have a lot to prove. And I like their road. I mean, you know, if the Predators, if the path stays the same, they would play Calgary in the first round and then get the winner of Edmonton, Los Angeles. I like Edmonton in that matchup. I don't think LA is for real. But because the Pacific is by far the weaker division in the Western Conference, that's just kind of how it's shaking out right now. And it looks like it's going to shake out that way, barring, you know, any kind of change. Vegas, of course, could get that third spot, which would drop Los Angeles, you know, down into the wild card race. But I would pick Edmonton sitting in that second spot right now because of what you just said, the speed and the firepower.
Yeah, I still have that impulse to doubt them, you know.
Well, Edmonton and Toronto, it's never a bad idea to doubt them when it comes to postseason.
Yeah, exactly. But I agree. I mean, I think just look at the matchups. And well, the thing is, I really have a feeling. Let's see, you're talking. Golden Knights have a game in hand. They're a point, but I think it's going to be Vegas and Edmonton. You know,
I think there's a very good chance of that.
With Doughty on the shelf now, and of course Vegas is this year's Tampa Bay Lightning in terms of taking advantage of the IR rules also. but it would be amazing for a team with that roster, and I know that they have had real injuries, but to miss the playoffs, but that could be an interesting, like if they get rolling, that could be actually a fun series, you know, if it's Oilers Knights and if the Knights kind of figure some things out here late. But look, that path is definitely what you want if you're the Preds. You know, the most important thing, and every time they lose, it comes back up like, yeah, okay, get into the playoffs. But if they can get enough wins here to where it's more a focus of competing with Dallas to be the first wild card as opposed to the second wild card, I think it's definitely worth going after that first wild card.
Yeah, and you mentioned Vegas. They beat Calgary last night 6-1. I was there a couple of weeks ago at T-Mobile Arena when they played the Preds. That was Danadoff's first game back after they tried to trade him and the NHL nixed it. He got a standing ovation, scored in that game. And there was also the game that Howden got hurt. He's still hurt. But they do. They're a tough team, and if they get in, they're going to be a tough out. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry, and you can also weigh in on our phone line or our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to the phones. Say hello to Bob in Antioch that wants to weigh in on the Preds. Bob, good morning. Welcome in.
Good morning, guys. Edmonton was the most impressive team that I've seen in person this year. They looked like they completely, imposed their will on the Predators. I think, to me, it started when Granlund got pasted early in the first period. They just laid the wood on him. And, you know, comparing that to last Saturday with Florida, Predators looked like they stood toe-to-toe with Florida, another great team, but I mean, they were totally overmatched. One reason I'm not panicking is Edmonton, I think, didn't it lose 4-1 or 5-1 to Minnesota the previous game? And so they might have had something to prove. So hopefully, the Predators will right the ship. But Edmonton is the, of all the teams I've seen this year, that's the one team I don't want them to play in the playoffs. What's your comment on that?
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, we were just kind of talking about that, Joe. I mean, I I don't disagree with him there.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just said, like, I think the other way is the way to go. I don't want to overreact to one game.
Yeah.
But I will say it did look thorough. So if you had the choice, it's, you know, Colorado, Calgary, first of all. I mean the Preds are going to be hard pressed to beat either of them in a series. They would have to obviously really rise up and find some consistent things that they haven't had consistently, but it's the playoffs and we know how that can go. So you would choose Colorado and then either St. Louis, Minnesota, or you would choose Calgary and either Edmonton or whichever the other ones.
See, that's kind of the interesting part of this, because I think the Pacific is the, I'm not going to say easier, but maybe more achievable path than the Central, because the Central is just by far the better division. But here's where my answer might surprise you. Just looking at the first round specifically, I think that I've watched this game long enough that Colorado has been in cruise control for a while. 9-0-1 in their last 10. They've won 8. They're obviously really, really good. But how many times have you seen a team just kind of be in cruise control and then they get into the playoffs and they get caught? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that the way the Predators play could be a hindrance for Colorado. With that said, it's not really a good choice either way. But if you're making me pick, I will say Colorado, because I think that Calgary, just the way that Sutter, his style, that worries me, especially having the long travel. Even though you're going to have long travel to Colorado too, but going into a tough environment. Yeah, it is. It's different. And Calgary's such a tough place to play, especially in playoffs. And they're so hungry for it, you know, for a run, just like Edmonton and Toronto, just these Canadian teams, that I think that would be a tough draw.
Yeah, it's tough. And Markstrom's been very good, and they got 430 goal scorers. I mean, it's a really good team. They've kind of been on cruise control too, though. You know, I mean, like last night's performance is kind of like a cruise control. I mean, not to the same extent, but
you know, I mean, Colorado's cruise control has won them 8 in a row. So, I mean,
right. They're just out there just putting up 9 spots on people. But I mean, you're right. It certainly it can happen. But the thing with Colorado is it's one or the other. It's like, you know, obviously last year was such a devastating disappointment. We've seen this before with super teams that are expected to do big things. We saw it when Duchesne and Columbus got Tampa Bay. And then at some point that team responds, right? And so if you tell me right now Colorado is going to win this thing, I'm not batting an eyelash. I still think it's like, try to avoid them. Let someone else try to take them out if you can. But there is something to be said for right away. I almost feel like with them, it's like either there's another one of these, like, oh my gosh, you really lost that series, or they're just going to go win the sucker.
Yeah. The key thing with either one of these, though, is you have to take care of games at Bridgestone Arena, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. Colorado is 34-3 at home. Calgary 22-9-7 at home. You got to take care of business in your home barn if you're the Predators, no matter who you play. Yeah.
You got to get in first.
Yeah, well, that too. That is a very good point. We'll continue to talk Predators and to take your thoughts on them. Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts. But up next, something I want to get into concerning the new building in town that's going to open here in just a few weeks. I want to get Joe's thoughts on this and yours as well. We're live from Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe in for Robbie today, alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Jill Jelinek, Fox 17 Sports Director, coming up at 7. We'll get into the USFL with her. She was in Birmingham this week as they get ready to start their season tomorrow, the return of the USFL. But Joe, something that has been making its rounds on the internets the last few days. Obviously, Geodis Park is going to open here in just a few weeks for Nashville SC, the new home. And I saw on Twitter, and obviously people have talked about it. We got into it on the Midday Show a little bit yesterday. Jared talked about it on Stillman & Company. But the concession prices at Geodis Park, a picture getting out there from a media event that happened earlier this week, pre-tax, and these prices are pretty out there. Chicken tenders and fries, $13.49. A hot dog, $6.49. French fries, $5.99. A pretzel, $5.99. Popcorn, $4.99. A premium large can beer, $16. The craft can beer is $10.99, which kind of floored me that the craft beer was cheaper. But and I don't know the sizes of the beer. I mean, there's obviously, and this is one concession stand that I have seen. You know, there could be others where there's, you know, some cheaper options. But, you know, the thing that really just pops out at me is $6 for a hot dog. And let me preface this. Concession stand or concession prices in general are pretty bad. Let's just say that. I mean, wherever you go, it doesn't matter. You know, I do think they're at Bridgestone Arena. You'll find some affordable options at certain places. But overall, concessions these days, when you go to a concert or a sporting event, they kind of are what they are. But I look at this as a situation for Nashville SC where, even though they have sold 22,000 season tickets, you know that the first game is going to be sold out. Obviously, there's a lot of hype with this team, and you have your fan base that are your diehards that have been with you since the beginning, but you have to build the fan base. You have to attract new fans. And, you know, if I'm going by myself or going with a friend or whatever, like, okay, yeah, I'm probably going to pay $15 for a beer or whatever because I want to have a beer at the game. I'm just going to eat it, and that's what I'm going to do. But not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody can do that. And so I see these prices, and it gives me a little bit of concern, even though I understand the market of where concessions are these days. What do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot to unpack here. So first of all, because I definitely heard Jared and Caroline talking a fair amount about this yesterday.
Well, the sky is falling, you know, according to Jared. But
right. Jared. So, but let's, okay, I need to make sure that I have everything correct here. So this started, because look, I have Jared muted on Twitter. I don't expect to unmute him anytime soon.
Well, you unfollowed him.
Well, I unfollowed him, yeah. But yeah, unfollowing, you could still see someone's tweets. True. I actually muted him too. So did this start with a Jared tweet about the prices, like, because of a picture of one of the stands? Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if this really originated from him per se. Like, I think he saw it and then he started talking about it. I have seen it from other places, not just Jared. He's not the. I know Jared likes to think he invented sports talk radio, but he's not the one that you know, necessarily started it, but I mean, I obviously he was pretty passionate about it.
Okay, so someone else.
I've seen it on Reddit. Like, I have it pulled up on Reddit right now. That from 2 days ago.
I totally missed this. Okay, so but then I heard Jared talking, and yes, in the midst of him having a good discussion about this, of course he said, and I mean, let's be honest, no one moves the needle like me in this town. You know, got to make sure to get that in there. But so he sent an email to Nashville SC,
and he did.
I need, because I heard that he read the email back, and I got to say, I know this is separate, but I mean, I think this is all part of the discussion. I need to. What was the line they said? Like, journalistically lazy or something like that?
Yeah, basically. Is what it was.
That's a weak response. That's a weak response from Nashville SC. First of all,
I think there's a lot to that whole situation.
I'm sure.
You know,
I'm sure there is. But you know, look, I agree with what Jared said, which is just remember, you're in that situation in a discussion like this. You are responding. You think you're responding to Jared. Okay, and this is what can happen with media is people who get covered by media get angry at one or more media members and forget that they're not sitting in a vacuum talking to the media people. They're talking to the public who you're trying to get to come out there. It was a bad response, but the whole thing with this, I agree. I mean, some of these prices jump out at you. It's all relative, of course. I mean, I went to a Dodgers game last summer, and you know, in Dodger Stadium, I think the beer was like $39 or something. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's bad. It's just that's
the Dodger dogs are crazy, but this is MLS. It's interesting because, of course, the Falcons have gotten so much credit for what they did with concessions. I know that was talked about yesterday too, right? Like they went $2 hot dogs and then they cut it to $1.50.
Yeah.
But they have all these, but you got to remember with that. Okay. And by the way, their research said, I think they said like people bought 50% more food. So they actually made more money on concessions by having cheaper concessions. How about that? But also the PSL rates for the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium were huge. So this was part of the trade-off, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's
you're going to pay for it somewhere.
Exactly. It all ties together. I will say, though, I mean, I agree. Like a six-buck hot dog, like, man. Or the bottle of water, what is it, $5 for, you know, like stuff like that to me. You have most of your games in hot weather. You have a lot of people who are drinking beer. Those people should you should encourage hydration. Like there's something where I would be like, you know what, do the $2 bottles of water, you know, something like that. But, I also wouldn't be surprised, Chase, if I agree, Jared said this and I agree, look, nothing is finalized. This is a picture of one concession stand. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a reaction to this. Of course, no one would ever want to admit. And if there is, I can't wait for the Jared show the next day.
Oh boy. If there is that is going to be something, but in 615-737-1025, if you want to weigh in on this, and here's my whole thing. So I had a unique opportunity the last couple of years, when, you know, we were COVID and everything was happening, when the MLS returned, I started engineering their games. I don't know anything about soccer. I did not grow up a soccer fan. I played when I was 3 years old and didn't like it. And so that was really my foray into soccer. I had friends that played in high school. And so I didn't know much about the game. And working those games and working with some great people like John Freeman and Wes Bowling and Jamie Watson, Tony Husband, you know, Kelly Glendening, I learned about the game, being a part of the broadcast team. And so it kind of helped me and educate me with what I do to know more about the game of soccer and Nashville SC specifically. But I say that because there are more people like me that didn't know much about the game or them than there are the diehards that have been there since the beginning. The diehards are very important. They're you know, very loud, and I think they're an awesome supporter section. But as I remember when the Predators got here, you're going to have that small section of fans that they're going to be with you no matter what from the very beginning. You have them. You got to go get the others. You got to build the fan base. And I believe Ian Ayer and Nashville SC, I think they get that. But one way to do that is – you know, one, parking is an issue, and that's something that, you know, they've talked about. There's 5,000 parking spots for a 30,000-seat stadium. We knew that area of town, the fairgrounds, you know, the parking is not very good. They're going to have to figure that out. But concession prices, to me, that's a way that, even though, yes, you want to pay for things, you want to get these new fans in, make it an affordable experience to come watch your games and build that fan base. And a $6 hot dog, in my opinion, is not the way to do that. And you're right. We don't know the sizes of things. We don't know if there are going to be special nights where things are cheaper. You know, there are some details we don't know. But with that picture, you know, that's kind of how I formed that opinion.
Yeah, look, I I'm glad you brought up parking, because that's what I was going to say. Like, honestly, that's my bigger concern. Than this, but it does tie together, because you want to provide value. And if people think that they're paying like the biggest prices in town, you know, for this, and here's the thing, if you're someone who, I mean, you got 5,000 spots and, you know, you've got more than 20,000 seats, man, that's problematic. So if you're a person who has to go through all kinds of hoops to get to the game. And then you see the, you know, the $6 hot dog, and, you know, you've got a kid who's cranky and hangry and on and on and on, you know.
Hangry is the worst.
Yes. Oh, I know hangry well.
Me too, Joe. I know hangry
very well. Yeah. Both personally and people around me. I'm worried about that, because this place looks amazing. I think it's going to be a fantastic experience. I do think, you've got a good team. You've got what looks to me to be like a perfect stadium. I can't wait to go and get tickets and go watch a game there. But especially the parking, it's worrisome, because, you know, it can really hurt you if people start realizing, it's just not worth the trouble.
Yeah, and that's going to be the big thing. How do they – because I'm not worried about the first game. I'm not worried about the first year. It's beyond that. So how do they keep people coming back? We'll continue this to talk about this. We'll take your texts, your calls, 615-737-1025. You know, and if you're hangry, let me give you the deal of the week, because this week's Nashville's best deal is at 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic, who has rickrolled us on a Friday morning. 615-737-1025. That is our number if you want to call or text. Brian on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as we talk Nashville SC concession prices, a picture floating around on the internets showing some high concession prices. And, you know, my thing is, you want to get your fan base built, and you have your core fans that, you know, you don't really have to do anything, that they're there. You got to build new fans, and you got to keep them coming back after the first year. Brian on our text line says, NSC is not Bayern Munich or Man City. And that's an interesting point. I because this is what I don't know, Joe, and maybe you have a better answer to this, is, you know, I'm still learning kind of the hierarchy of soccer and how it all works. I know the EPL is obviously the big deal, and, you know, Ian Ayre came from Europe and obviously knows the lay of the land there. MLS, not the same caliber of players or teams or anything like that, but I do get a sense sometimes with soccer in general that there's just, you know, there's a lot of confidence in how things work. But I don't know if concession prices, if these concession prices are them thinking that they're Man City.
No, but, and, you know, as far as MLS and that comparison, you know, MLS has gotten tremendously better, worlds better, you know, and things were wobbly a few years ago, and you're seeing places like this built. I mean, MLS used to be basically all played in wherever teams could, you know, football stadiums they could find to play in. I mean, you have situations like this, and you do are building fan bases. And I think overall Nashville SC's done a tremendous job of that. I think there's a really strong core of people who care about Nashville SC. To your point, though, at some point, it's funny because, you know, we're going to have Crispy on later, and I'm doing something on Crispy for the Athletic. So I've been talking to, like, Willie and everybody, and we've talked a lot about, like, early days, Crispy and Pete. And
so I should sit out that interview so you can get stuff for the Athletic.
Oh, no. In fact, I should sit it out. He is so sick of me now. I spent like an hour and a half with him and Sheila. He's like, get out of my house. But,
I'm jealous. That was probably great, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think, you know, Sheila's the real star, but, you know, we can ask about that later. Yeah, but a lot of the discussion is like, you know, early on, of course, the Preds, you're excited, it's hockey. And then it's like, okay, then the newness wears off. The team's not very good. There's really no stars. You know, like you've got to do everything you can to try to get through those times. Cause I still think it's obviously Jodas, the Geo, is that what we're calling it? The Geo is new. It looks looks fantastic. Wait, it's Yotis?
Geotis, I think is how you say it.
Oh, okay. I thought you just said Yotis. I'm like it's Yoda. I'm like, Yoda. Oh, crap, I had no, it wrong.
No, that would be sick.
Did you zone out again? Is that what this
wrong,
is?
Wrong I was. I mean, Willie said, look, I think that Crispy and Pete were like huge then because like people loved them and they did the hockey 101. And like, so you had something, and I'm not, there's no parallel to that, to this, but the point being, there is going to be a time here moving forward when it's not as new and everybody's used to it. And so then do you have the parking in place? Then are people still mad about your concession prices or whatever? And again, like you said, Chase, you know, this could go a lot of ways. They could change that up. That's one picture before they actually open the place. But those are things that are going to be important.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to relate this to. And you obviously weren't here, but I remember when Bud Adams moved the Houston Oilers here. They played the first year in Memphis. So honestly, like I didn't care. I mean, we watched the games were on. Obviously, the NFL was coming, so there was hype. But in our mind, it wasn't here yet. It was in Memphis. And so Memphis had a team. Then they play the year at Vanderbilt, and my first NFL game was at Vanderbilt Stadium as rookie Randy Moss, and the Minnesota Vikings came in and beat the Oilers in what would be the last game as the Oilers franchise. They handed out Titans towels, and you know they had unveiled the logo and all that stuff. My point is, for a lot of people, though, the NFL didn't get here until then Adelphia Coliseum opened in 1999. That's when it really started, that the Oilers weren't their team. They were Houston's team. They weren't playing in their stadium. It didn't have that home feel. And I think for some people, there's a little bit of that now, this year, even though Nashville SC has been in existence, this is their third year in existence. They've made the playoffs in their first 2 years. There's been a lot of support. Now I think you're going to get even more support because you have those people that go, all right, now they actually have a stadium. Now they have a home. So now it really starts. And that's why it's so important for the organization to continue to build those fans, because a texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai, .com makes my point for me. I'd rather pay $10 to $20 more for ticket prices to allow for cheaper concessions. It's the sticker shock of a $7 hot dog that makes me not want to buy one. Parking is going to suck, and then you get in there and see those ridiculous prices, then see a soccer match ended a tie that makes me not want to go again. That's what you're that's the fan that you're trying to appeal to, that has that attitude. And I'll say this on the air, because I've said this to my NSC friends and people. I was one of those people for a long time that I would joke that I need a t-shirt that says soccer, the game where something almost happens. And that now that I understand it better, like it just, that's what it is. You're going to have a lot of nil-nil games. I mean, it's a defensive type game. It's hard to score. They're talented athletes. And that's a part of it. But when you're trying to appeal the guy that has been going to a Preds game or a Titans game where there's a lot of action, and they got to understand that it's just a different kind of sport, a $7 hot dog is not a way to get that guy or girl.
Yeah. No, look, I don't disagree. Again, I think I didn't even realize this. Jared was telling Caroline yesterday that did he say dollar waters at Bridgestone? I thought he said that. I didn't realize that, you know, because obviously that's the thing when you're like on the media side, you go to the media room. And I mean, not that we haven't gone, sat in the stands before, but like that, you know, there's some things there. And again, we don't know that Nashville SC is not going to do stuff like that, but I agree. I mean, just the casual fan. You know, look, some people some people said that about hockey too, Chase. Like if any game where there's not a lot of scoring all the time, you know, like sometimes it's hard to get the casual fan.
Sure.
It's hard for me to imagine people not loving hockey, especially, you know, if you get to see it in person. But I mean, it took a while here, right? I mean, it's not like you snap your fingers and and everyone's bought in. I mean, it's just from a different region. Soccer is interesting. You know, I'm a soccer parent, so I've gone to endless soccer games. I've never really been like, I never played it. I played it in eighth grade PE once. Now I feel like there's way more youth participation. I think it's, and how many people have Premier League teams and things yeah. like that? It's on TV. So I think that, like, I think it's an easier sell now. I think there's a lot more. I think there are a lot more just Americans who have some, you know, concept of the game and things like that. But then you also get into the problem of, look, if you are really into soccer, everybody I know who is really into soccer still thumbs their nose a little bit at MLS. It's gotten way, way better. And yeah. Walker Zimmerman is you know, the captain for the U.S. men's national team. I mean, he's one of the best soccer players certainly in the country. You know, so, I mean, you've got big time players, but there's still a little bit of that too. Like it's not unlike all these other leagues. We have the best football. We have the best hockey. We have the best baseball. We have best basketball. It's all here.
Yeah,
it's all here. The best in the world. Not true of soccer. So there's, but I still think that those people who are, if you are a real soccer diehard living here, I feel like most of those people would want to go support this team and watch it, right?
Yeah, those aren't the people that I'm worried about. Like, they're gonna. Yeah. It's like if the racetrack reopens, you're gonna get me because I'm a diehard race fan. Like,
are you, Chase?
Yeah, I mean, I host a show at Sundays at 8.
No, you're not.
1025 the game. So that's not who you're worried about. It's the others. And Chris on our text line says dollar waters with Apple Pay at Bridgestone. So that's
okay.
That's
there you go. You yeah, which is great. That's a great, yeah. That's a great example of something. But again, we don't know that Nashville SC isn't going to have something like that as well. They should. They need to. So do that, Nashville SC.
Yeah, and maybe they're going to. We just don't know that. 615-737-1025. When we come back, though, we're going to talk to Jill Jelinek, sports director at Fox 17. She's been in Birmingham covering the USFL, and I know Joe is excited because the USFL is back and the Michigan Panthers are back. And they're coached by the mustache, Jeff Fisher. So she sat down with him, talked to him. We'll get her thoughts on that new league when we return here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.